The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and he went down to live in Capernaum by the sea, near the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what had been said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, along the sea by the Jordan, heathen Galilee, a people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those who inhabit a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim this theme, "Reform your lives, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he watched two brothers, Simon, now known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen, and he said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately abandoned their nets and became his followers. He walked along further and caught sight of two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They too were in their boat getting their nets in order with their father Zebedee. He called them, and immediately they abandoned their father and the boat and they followed him. Jesus toured all of Galilee. He taught in their synagogues, proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, and cured the people of every disease and ailment. The gospel of the Lord. We have a very interesting shift in the gospel from last week. And it gives us a sense of how rapidly some portions of the gospel moves along. You know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus in the mystery of the incarnation, and then just shortly after we celebrate the Epiphany and then the baptism of the Lord, and the next thing is we're on to the public ministry of Jesus. He's grown up and man, he's out there doing the thing. It all moves rapidly. Last week we had the gospel according to John, and now we revert back to the ordinary season again, although last Sunday was the ordinary season, the second Sunday. We're in the third Sunday of ordinary time now, and until the eighth Sunday we will follow the gospel of St. Matthew. And the portion, for those of you following and studying the Gospel of St. Matthew at the moment, we will be following the essence of chapter 5. The portion of the Gospel of Matthew that really presents most all of what he will do throughout the rest of the Gospel. We call it the Sermon on the Mount between chapters 5 and 7. And we will still, at the eighth Sunday, be in the middle of, or the latter part of chapter 5. So, obviously, it's pretty important. So, those of you studying, invite you to be attentive to that, how he goes about ministering. I was thinking during the week, you know, how quickly things change. Last week, we were reading about John the Baptist introducing Jesus to the people of Nazareth. And how he had done that. And when the disciples were standing there, John says, "That's him. Keep an eye on him. He's the one who's going to take away the sins of the world." And the disciples follow and they ask Jesus, "You know, who are you? Where are you living?" And so they begin the relationships. This week we move into the gospel and John is now in prison and we hear nothing more of John after this. John ceases, kind of moves right into the background, and Jesus takes over his public ministry. John the Baptist was such an interesting individual, a cousin of Jesus, and Jesus chose him to introduce him to the people. Because when he came around Nazareth, he needed somebody to kind of give a public introduction and say, "That's him." And John had a very interesting perspective. Did he know Jesus? Maybe? Yeah? To an extent. To an extent. But he was clueless in terms of how he would be, how he would minister. He was preaching this baptism of repentance out in the Jordan, and he was out in the desert, and he was preaching and pretty hopeful about a retributive justice coming this way. What a surprise. It really wasn't what he had proclaimed. I was thinking during the week, if you had to choose one person to introduce you, let's say you were going to get a great honor or a great distinction, who would you choose to introduce you? Choose your wife, your husband, mother, father, friend. Who would you choose? The way to quiet a group, right? Interesting. Do you know the person you would choose? And would you like them to know you, or would you prefer them to know just what you want them to know about you? Really. Makes for an interesting reflection. Jesus chose John the Baptist, very interesting, his cousin, and he knew some things about him and knew that he was the promised Messiah. But John was still of the opinion that he was going to be a kind of a retributive Messiah who was going to restore Israel with power, military power, not spiritual. And this is clear in his teaching and preaching. And Jesus comes along, and it shocked John, I'm sure, because we see him from his prison cell sending two of his emissaries out to ask, "Are you really the one?" When he hears what Jesus is doing, the blind see, the lame walk, and he's visiting with tax collectors and sinners. Not the one I had in mind. Man, I wanted all of these folks to have their comeuppance, right? Wanted them to get what was coming to them. John had some of that sense, and so do we. They say, whoever they is, or there is an adage that says, we tend to see people not as they are, but as we are. What do you think? Oh, come on. What do you think? You could be right, you could be wrong, right? We tend to see people not as they are, but as we are. I think there's got to be a fabulous truth in that. As a behaviorist, I think, wow, yes. John the Baptist saw Jesus as he was, and so that was the introduction he gave. Story of a king who called on one of his servants. The same servant was known to be a rather cruel individual, mean. He had very few friends, and the king said to him, I want you to travel throughout my kingdom. And he said, I want you to find in my kingdom one truly good person. And the man went out and he searched throughout the kingdom and interviewed a lot of people in his travels. However, after a long time, he came back and he said to the king, I have searched the whole kingdom as you asked me, but I couldn't find even one truly good human being. All of them, without exception, mean, cruel, deceitful, evil. The good person you asked for is nowhere to be found in your kingdom. King called another servant. He was known to be friendly and generous and kind, and people liked him, and he had good relationships with people. And the king said to him, I want you to go out into my kingdom and find one truly evil person in the kingdom. Go and travel the length and breadth of my kingdom, he said, and find me somebody who is truly wicked. And the man went out and he searched in the kingdom and he interviewed people and talked to them and asked them about their lives. And he came back to the king and he said, Your Honor, I'm sorry. He said, I failed in the task you gave me. He said, I failed to find one truly bad person or evil person in the kingdom. He said, I found people who were misguided, people who were misled, people who acted in blindness or passion, but nowhere could I find a truly evil person. All of them were good at heart, despite the bad things they had done. We have a tendency to see people not as they are, but as we are. It's got to be a great grace in that reality. John the Baptist saw Jesus as he was. Jesus saw John the Baptist as he was. Great grace in that truth is, as we begin our journey in the Gospel of Matthew, be attentive to this reality. He sees us as he is, not as we are. That's why it was so phenomenal when he came and associated with tax collectors and sinners and people who were marginalized by the religious leadership, because that's the good news. He sees us as we are, yes, because he is God, but he sees us as he is, which is a foundational truth. And that's a great break for us, because he is all goodness. And so he finds the good in every individual, no matter how hidden. He sees them as he is. That's what was so striking in the gospel. That's why the religious leadership had such a difficulty. And why tax collectors and sinners were elated, because he saw himself in them. Doesn't it say in the opening of the book? We are created in his image and likeness. It's pretty good news to know. That's what he sees in us. Wow, what a break, right? Particularly if the adage is true. Think about it. Reflect on it, on the adage. We tend to see people not as they are, but as we are. What do we see?